Money FM 89.3, best of breakfast. Morning Shot.
Welcome to Morning Shot. It's Audrey and Ahmad with you. The next time you're out and about, think again before throwing that piece of tissue or unwanted drink can to the ground instead of the nearest trash bin.
That's because a photo of you caught in the act might very well be publicized as part of Singapore's efforts to crack down on litter bugs.
Yeah, authorities will be increasing the number of CCTV deployments by 4 times to around 1,000 a year to step up surveillance against littering.
That comes on the back of a 15% increase in feedback on littering from 2022 to 2023 compared to pre-pandemic. For more insights, we're joined by Pauline Strawn, Professor of Sociology at the Singapore Management University. Professor Strawn, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Let's talk about your first reaction when you heard about the plans to publish and shame the littering culprits. Would you consider such a move to be heavy-handed, perhaps harsh? Where should the lines be drawn when it comes to young children, the elderly, or vulnerable groups?
Yeah, so I think when I first heard about this, it was in the same conversation as having more CCTVs, right? So immediately the question is, you could have CCTVs, but if you don't know who is in your CCTV, you know, mugshot, how can you then carry on, you know, with the fines, etc., right? So then this was the next piece of information I got. And of course, initially I thought, wow, sledgehammer, you know, in terms of our reaction. But I suppose, you know, if we look at it in terms of severity of the consequences, right, one issue that we are most concerned about, of course, is killer litter, right? This is litter that is just thrown from a height, and we really need to be able to handle that. So I think no one would question this if we say that, you know, we're going to be using these extreme measures in order to tackle extreme, you know, situations. The other concern, I suppose, is the hotspots. And by and large, Singapore is very clean. I think we all agree on that. But that's if you stay in the clean areas, right? You know, if you go to Orchard Road, if you go to the malls and all that, you know, we're all pretty happy. But as with any other city that's very densely populated, we have hotspots, which are really, you know, quite unsightly. So question then is, what can we do about this? I think there's several considerations here. The first is, I think we have to be careful when we exercise, you know, this proposed option. I hope that, you know, we would be mindful, especially when, you know, when the situation doesn't cause significant harm to others, right? We tend to try to be more considerate in our approach because, as you mentioned, once we post a video or a picture of somebody out there, you lose control, right? Even if it's a static photo, the moment somebody snaps a picture of that, circulates on social media, we lose control of the narrative and how it could be used. So this is something that I'm, you know, as a sociologist, I'm most concerned about. So I suppose at the end of the day, you know, it serves as a threat, right? That if this area continues to be persistently, you know, dirtied by similar groups of people, then something has to be done. And of course, the other consideration is when there is danger, you know, harm to the environment and to others, you know, in that shared space, like killer litter, right? So it takes a balanced approach. But I suppose, you know, the announcement of this tells us that in a way, you know, the authorities are pretty desperate now, right, on what else can we do to keep Singapore clean. So I would like to see more consideration on the mediated efforts. For example, using CCTV and then posting photos to try to nail the culprit is really on the extreme end of exercising authority. In between, there could be a more moderated approach where we urge for community intervention in that we encourage each other and empower each other to be that eyes and ears and mouth, right? So the difficulty is when you have a rule and a law, but you don't have enough enforcement on the ground, that law has no bite. So this tells us that the law is going to have a bite, you know, because they're going to use the CCTV, and even if they don't know who you are, they're going to post it for the community to gather together to help identify the persons.
So, Professor Strawn, you know, we know that anti-littering laws aren't new in Singapore. We have the corrective work order that has been around since 1992, and it was initially quite effective as a deterrent. But what about now? Do you believe its effectiveness has changed over time?
I think that by and large, I think it is effective, especially, you know, for those who are very concerned, right, that, you know, there's going to be, you know, an audience when they are carrying out the corrective work order. So here is the situation. See, that has difference, right? When you are served a CWO, they catch you red-handed, and then you are recorded. So the difficulty is when you don't catch, right? So it comes back to a catch, you know, a circular argument. You know, you could have the CCTVs, but if you can't catch them, you don't know who they are, then what's the point of having a CCTV? So now the next step is we're going to identify the persistent culprits, right, in the CCTV, you know, evidence.
Okay, let's now take a quick step back to put ourselves in the shoes of a litterbug or even a serial litterbug. I'm happy to say that I'm not one of them. What is the psychology behind littering? Is it for convenience sake or perhaps an outright disobedience? We're obviously discounting or taking out the unintentional litterer in this conversation.
Yeah, well, you know, there's two baskets, right? So one basket tells us when we do qualitative interviews is that we do because we can. So this is the part where it really, you know, drives enforcement, you know, to the ground, right? So there are those who litter because they can. Nobody catches them. And it's like you have rules and regulations. But if nobody is here to enforce, you know, it's like water off a duck's back, right? So that's the group. That's the group that, you know, this stepped up, you know, enforcement, I think, hopes to address. Then there's that second group, right, where, you know, where we're able to make excuses, you know, to render the act, normalize the act, so to speak, right? So things like, I go to a bin and the bin is like full to the brim. Now what do I do? I put it next to the bin and I don't think that it's littering, right? Or, you know, I'm looking for bins and there's no bin anywhere and I, you know, I'm going to hop on, you know, I need to get rid of my litter. So I put it neatly in the corner thinking that it's not an inconvenience, right? And for the sweeper to come. So these are the people who feel that if the street is already dirty, if there's already a pile of rubbish there, well, I'm not going to make any difference. Right? So all these excuses go through our head, you know, in minute minutes, right? As we are looking for some place to dump, and then we do it when we can find an excuse to do it. So what we want to do is send a message that if you enter a space clean, you must leave that space clean. And it really is a lot easier to, you know, play the part of, you know, holding off, you know, on littering if that surrounding around us is clean, right? And that's something that we need to also step up on.
More surveillance and blitzes will be carried out by the NEA at so-called cleanliness hotspots. And these hotspots went up from 21 last year to more than 100 this year. So what might turn a place into a hotspot and how are they selected?
You know, we live in a very densely populated city. I mean, this is something that, you know, when you grow up here in everyday life, you know, you're in somebody else's space, you don't think too much about it. But when you share per square foot with so many people, and we do generate a lot of rubbish, right? Just from just eating meals out, you know, simple things like that. And post-COVID, all of us are, you know, sanitizing here, there, everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, all these sheets are all over the place. So I suppose over time, where there is congregation of a lot of people, it runs the risk then, you know, that, you know, with the shared space, you know, that is not carefully monitored in terms of, you know, having enough, you know, trash bins, and the trash bins are emptied regularly, then it creates a problem, right? So my guess is the hotspots are identified based on litter count, and then, you know, to be able to, once identified, there's a step up in enforcement to try to nip it on the blood. Because, you see, the point is, if you live in an everyday environment where it is nothing, you know, like you go to your, you live in your HDB and every day you go in, there's a stench in the lift and lift is dirty and all that. It really creates a very poor atmosphere. And for somebody who has to deal with that every day, you know, this idea of keep Singapore clean, do your part and all that, you know, they get really upset. So we need to show that when this happens, the community steps up together, you know, with us. And, you know, we are able to have a sense of agency, right? That something is done. You don't have to accept this and we can do something about it. So by identifying these areas as hotspots, I think it's NEA's partnership with the community to say that we know this is a problem, so therefore we need to tackle this together.
Talking about doing something about the issue, 2024 has been designated as the Year of Public Hygiene by the Minister of Sustainability and the Environment, Grace Fu. If we just hark our minds back a little bit, cleanliness and hygiene did come to the fore during the COVID-19 pandemic. Is it a case right now of people forgetting what it was like and how public education and policy work side by side to reduce such negative social behaviours?
I think there is always a danger, right? When the crisis is over and the first periods post-COVID, I think the whole nation really came together. We understood, you know, where the grass was not cut and where there was a slowdown in services because we were suffering, you know, a global crisis. So there's a lot of goodwill generated. Then there's also a lot of, you know, Singaporeans and those who share this space with us were determined that we're going to, you know, survive COVID, right? So everybody tried to do their part. So in this sense, you know, I think it's very important for us to ride on the momentum, because by now, unless you live in a cave, okay, you know that it's very important. You know, the notion of hygiene is very important. And hygiene is very difficult to tackle because it's invisible, right? Litter is easier to tackle because you can see it, it's in your face. But hygiene, you know, germs and whatnot, they're invisible to the naked eye. So this whole idea that you have to keep, you know, shared spaces clean, you have to wipe down and so forth, this is something that we don't want to forget. And we don't want Singaporeans and those who live with us, you know, on our island to forget. So I think it's very, very important and very timely that we flush this up to the forefront. And while, you know, most of us still remember, you know, how difficult COVID had been, it drives that synergy, right? So the next step, of course, is for us not to just be mere audience, because there's no way government or NEA can handle this alone, right? Unless you turn every other person into a law enforcement agent. So this can only be done if, you know, we are all empowered to do our part. And I think if we are empowered to do our part, the law enforcement part of it is going to be, they need to be just a catalyst, right? Because then if everyone can do their part, I think we can nip this on the... But it's like queuing, right? We don't need to have enforcers in hawker centres and all that, you know, to make sure that we queue, because we enforce it ourselves now, right? And nobody has any problem enforcing it. So we need to turn us into anti-litter bug guys, right? So that, you know, if we see somebody litter, you know, what I fear is that this will then encourage us, oh, because government also take pictures and post. So if I see somebody litter or, you know, do something unsightly, I'm also going to take a photo and post it. Now, that's dangerous, because then it's a vigilante culture. We need to send the message very clear that that is not the way to do it, because once you publicly shame a person without contextualization, therein lies the danger, right? What if it's a vulnerable person? Once you release that photo on the internet, you don't know what harm it can do. So we need to concurrently send the message to ordinary members of our community that your role is not to post pictures, okay? I think we've had enough of stomping, but our role is to have that courage, you know, and that training to be able to step up with confidence to somebody and say very nicely, oh, you know, did you drop this? You know, there's a trash can just a little bit further off. Let's do that, right? Let's do that and not, you know, turn ourselves into law enforcement agents that would just stomp away happily.
Yeah, some good points there. Well, a good look into intensifying efforts to combat littering in Singapore. Thanks, Professor Strawn, for your time and insights this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much.
We've been speaking with Professor Pauline Strawn from the Singapore Management University. Stay with Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.